And we are back for another episode. Welcome to the Coach's Corner, everybody. I'm your host, Matt Fryer, and today we're back with another brand new episode. Hopefully you've enjoyed the ones that we've had come out already with the guests that we've had on. Obviously quite challenging times for a lot of not only golfers, but everyone around the world with everything that's going on with the pandemic. And this one that we've recorded today was shot just as the government eased the guidelines in terms of what potentially could be happening in the next few days. So there is the possibility that we're going to be able to get out to the back to the golf course pretty soon. Obviously, still trying to follow all the guidelines and stay safe and do it in a protected manner where we're not causing any damage to anyone. So hopefully, fingers crossed, we can get back out there and start to play a bit of golf while staying safe. But we've got a great host. We've got a great guest on the podcast today, a fellow YouTuber, a golf coach also, runs a great channel, quite an interesting one, is Alex Evans. He's the tagline, I would guess, is the Chronicles of a Not Yet Champion Golfer, and he's quite forthcoming about his own progress and how he plays and things like that, and documenting it. It's quite an interesting take on how to improve your golf, obviously seeing it through how he's trying to improve his instead of just a standard tip video or anything else. It's something that's his progress only, and linked in with some great humour. He's a very, very funny character, Alex, and I think he's going to give us some great stories today and be able to give us an insight of, you know, how to improve your game and where he sees golf going, and generally just the whole landscape of golf. So without further ado, let's bring Alex in. Right then, so we're joined by Mr. Alex Evans. Alex, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for coming on.
Cheers, Matt. Thanks for having me, mate.
How are you? How are you finding the whole lockdown situation? Have you been scratching the walls yet, or?
You know what? I've just been finding stuff to do. It's not been like I'd love to get out and play golf, but I actually quite like the chance to work a little bit of technical stuff. And I get obsessed with working technical stuff. So, yeah, the chance to just hit balls and watch myself on camera over and over again hitting shots. It's kind of. I think it's done me good, but I can't see where the ball's going. It feels great. As soon as you get on the course, it might go sideways. I might think differently, but it feels all right at the minute. So,
feels good, yeah. Looks different.
Exactly, yeah. I'm like, that's how I want it to look, but the ball flight's going everywhere. But yeah, so far, mate, I haven't lost a ball in my net, so all good.
Well, positives then. So for the listeners who don't know, just tell them a little bit about yourself.
So, firstly, like yourself, I'm a PGA Pro. I've been playing golf since I was a kid. Like, it's been my real sole focus since I was a kid, trying to be a professional golfer and make it playing. So my main focus is playing golf, and still been that. But probably it was a couple of years ago, it was my missus actually said that I should start getting into YouTube side of things. So, we got into it. And at first I was kind of like, I don't know, because it's just uncharted waters, you know. I didn't know.
It's scary at first.
Yeah, mate, as soon as that camera goes in front of you, you're thinking, well, is that my real voice? That's how I actually speak.
I look like really. I thought I had hair for a long time, but it seems not.
Mate, mine's gone off the planet here. I need this sorting out. But yeah, so I started the YouTube a couple of years ago. And, mate, it's been really good. Like, from a viewer side of things, the feedback's really good on it, and they seem to kind of like what's going out. But for me, like, it helps me massively, because I get to watch myself back. And you know what it's like, Matt, when you go out and practice and stuff, you can sort of go through the motions, but I think when you're being filmed and you know it's going out and people are watching, it kind of makes you sort of be responsible for your own work you're doing, and think, right, I need to do this properly, because I don't want people looking at me thinking, what's he doing there, you know?
Yeah, you definitely feel, even the, obviously there's no one there watching you at the time. One of the, I can't remember who it was who said to me, you know, imagine if you get sort of 10,000, 20,000 views on a video, that's like you could fill some football stadiums with it. And those people are watching you, so you think, God, if I was, you know, to walk out at, say, Old Trafford and there was 75,000, I'd be absolutely bricking it. So when you put it into your mind like that, you think, you know, I need to perform here. I need to actually make sure my swing's looking decent and I'm not just spraying it.
If I walked out Old Trafford, mate, If I walked out Old Trafford, I'd start pinging two irons into the crowd.
Yeah, wouldn't be your choice to go, would it?
Straight to the Stretford end, picking up two irons.
So the basis of your channel, you know, obviously you've got the tagline, the Chronicles of a Not Yet Champion Golfer. It's very much, you know, yourself, isn't it, in terms of your progress. But what I've found from a lot of people who I, you know, speak to me about YouTube and things like that, I love Al's channel, really, really funny, but it, like, informative as well. And is that something that you aim to do, you know, with what you're going through, you know, in terms of building your golf swing and the progress of playing and different things? Is it an aim to just try and help other golfers also?
Yeah, it's kind of, it's trying to relate to what, basically what anyone that's trying to improve at golf is going through, you know. And it's not, I don't do it on the basis of like, copy me, do what I'm doing, because by no means I wouldn't say what I'm doing is for everyone or that it's right, you know. It's yet to be proven whether it's right or not, but it's, it's certainly like, it's more of a case of kind of showing what I'm working on, the things I'm playing in, things I'm working towards. And then I always try and put in a bit that might help people that maybe have the similar sort of issues or, you know, going through the same sort of changes in the golf swing or ways to practice. Just always try and get in every video something that people can take out of it, because like I said to you before, the fact that I do it kind of helps me. So to sort of give something back that the viewers can sort of go away and say, you know what, I've kind of been entertained for a little bit. He's been an idiot for 5 minutes of that video, but actually I can go away and sort of work on this myself. Then that's kind of what I'm after. So yeah, it's kind of evolved that way, to be honest. The first videos I did were probably like sort of 10 minutes long, and it's just got into sort of more of like a...
Yours almost seems like like a, you know, like a daily blog almost, you know, when you see some like who actually document their it's like their diary almost. Yeah. And you can like just pick, like you say, those little tidbits out there, and it is something I'll always find when I watch yours. I watch and sit through, because I'm thinking, I don't know what's coming next. I want to know what's going to happen here. Like, what is he going to do? Like, is he going to have a head off here, or is he going to go like off into looking at some animals, or is he going to tell us about the golf swing? And it's obviously like where mine's very, you know, coaching based, and it's like, well, you've come here to fix your slice, we're going to look at it in this way, and that's it. You know, like for me, one of the things and what I love about your channel, when I did mine, I was known as like a hothead on the golf course and always messing around and like having a laugh constantly, not serious at all. But when I set my YouTube channel up to get more, you know, ultimately more people in the bay from a coaching aspect, I was like, well, I'm not putting any of that in. And it's like, it is my personality in terms of when I coach, but there's like almost two sides to me as well. Yours is just like, right, here we go, let's go. And it's great for that. I absolutely love it.
Mate, I've watched a few back as well, and like I said, like before, it's definitely helped me, because at first it was almost like I watched myself back, and I'm genuinely like that. So I watched myself back and I'm like, what are you doing? Like, look at me body language and stuff on the course. And I'm like, entertaining, losing the plot. But I'm thinking, how are you going to get better at golf doing that? So watching it back, I've actually tamed a little bit over the last couple of years. So yeah, I think it's been good for me, golf.
Saved a few clubs, no more broken shafts or anything.
Absolutely. Yeah. I have to be careful with me clubs, because loads of them aren't mine, and I usually rob them off Paul. So yeah, I have to be careful with that.
Give it him back in two pieces. Sorry, mate. You can have that back. And so obviously there is, it's documenting your progress. Where do you see A, your golf going, and then B, the YouTube side of things? Are they two different plans that you would have, or do they form like the same plan, or what happens there?
Yeah, I see them sort of being together, because ultimately my goal is to, I want to just basically might get as good as I can at golf. Like, I want to, and if that gets me on tour, then it gets me on tour, and that's the goal, really. That's what I've been working towards. And a couple of years ago, I'd probably been, before the YouTube, I was kind of, I knew that's what I was working towards, but I was afraid to kind of say it to people. Wasting his time, he's 35 years old, you know. But through the channel, I kind of think, yeah, that is what I'm working towards, and so the channel kind of helping me, I think it'd be a good opportunity just to keep it going. and document everything right the way through, because, you know, if that's what's worked to get me there, which I certainly think it's helping, and it seems like other people are getting stuff from it, then I see it as sort of one package really, and just sort of continuing it through. So whatever level I reach, whatever sort of tournaments I'm playing or anything like that, I see it just sort of documenting exactly what it is that I'm doing in the game. So yeah, I think it's hand in hand really.
And have you actually seen a progression through your results and things like that? Have you noticed and been able to sort of look back on things and think, I see, you know, that video, that episode, I didn't perform well in that competition, but I didn't focus on this point. And it's a way that you can, you know, pick, you know, A, where you're not improving, and also actually see that there is, you know, point A to B, there's, you know, definite improvement.
Yeah, 100%. It's good for reflection. It's almost like it's like going back through your coaching lessons really over time and sort of trying to see a progress. And I look at it and I've seen, you know, I did a technique video the other day and sort of an update on it. And so I went back, got some videos of old swings, and I was like, wow, no wonder like I wasn't doing any good or having good results, because it was poor, you know. And it's helped me with like short game and stuff. Like if you asked me to hit a chip on camera, maybe as little as 2 years ago, like it would have been embarrassing. I wouldn't have done it. Broke the camera, I think. I'd have hit the ball backwards and broke the camera. it was terrible, you know. It was like, I think a beginner could chip better than me. But doing the YouTube stuff, it kind of forces you into that situation where you can go out and play as if it's a tournament, because you know it's being documented. And, you know, I'll show every shot I play, and it's not perfect golf by any means. No one plays it, and I'm certainly not at sort of perfect golf level, but if you can sort of get the camera in front of me when I'm hitting shots, it makes me do the right stuff. So yeah, it really does help. And I never thought it'd be that. I've seen it at first as two separate things, and almost like, oh, I've got to film a video, but it's kind of changed to be just part of it now, you know?
Yeah. Stick the camera up and just do what you're doing anyway.
Yeah.
And it puts, like I say, it does put that pressure on you. I think, you know, one of the big topics in coaching at the moment is, you know, simulated practice, isn't it? And as soon as you put a camera there in front of you and post it to the world, there is that pressure, because obviously you straight away you're opening yourself up to the comment section and people saying, you know, what's that? And if you can get past that section and you know, get on with it and perform, yeah, but then also help someone out, it's a brilliant thing.
100%. And people do put stuff in the comments, you know it's coming, and you've got to be able to say, this is what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. So
yeah,
mate, it just gives you that direction. It's the same, I mean, you know, it's got to be the same for you when you're doing your coaching stuff. You've got to make sure that what you're saying is right, you know. And obviously you've trained in professional golf for a long time, so you know what you're talking about, and you've got to make sure you put that across in a sense that people go, oh yeah, okay, yeah, I'm gonna go do that. You don't want people coming on and going, well, he doesn't know what he's talking about, let's switch
that. Yeah, off. Yeah, that, and I think that's sort of the hard thing, isn't it? You know, especially with the YouTube side of thing, pinning your hat to the mast and saying, this is what I believe in, this is what I think works, and you've got to go and do it. If you don't like it, it's not for you, so be it. But this is, you know, what my truth is, and it is a good thing for that, and you do obviously help people and grow through that. You mentioned a Paul there a moment ago, so Paul Waring is the Paul you're talking about, European tour player. Did you grow up with Paul playing golf with him, or how did that friendship spurn?
Yeah. So Paul played at Brackenwood, which is a course which is 5 minutes away from us. It's like the local municipal, and Paul grew up playing there, and I was at Bromborough. So down the road. So I think we met probably about when we were about 10 or 11, I think. Paul joined Bromborough then. Mm. And we played golf since we were kids, right the way through, really. So, and that's why, I mean, it's great that Paul gets involved on it, but he loves doing it as well, which for me, for a European tour player, but I mean, he's a European tour player, but to me, he's just my mate that I play golf with, you know. So the fact that he comes on and gets involved, it's great. But for practice wise, we've always practiced together anyway and played together. But again, putting that on camera, it's gives that extra element to it, because we're always sort of looking at ways that we can create that proper game situation. And you'll know yourself, through trying to get people to apply practice, it's difficult to do, and it's like trying to take penalty, you know. Practicing penalty is never going to be the same as it is in an actual tournament. So yeah, it's been really good in that way. But Paul's, I mean, I'm not just saying it because he's my mate and that, but he is seriously impressive. Like, ball striking is unbelievable, but the way he works, and same thing what we were talking about before, you've got to say what you believe in and what you teach, kind of what you think. It's never going to be the same as everyone else because that's the game. But, you know, Paul's so efficient in his practice. He won't stand there and hit ball after ball, but he'll do 20 minutes work, which will have 3 hours worth of good stuff in. It's just literally crammed in, so efficient, and he knows what works for him. I think that's a big thing, is knowing what works for you and going with it.
Yeah, 100%. I was going to say, from obviously being able to play and practice with him, he was, when I was playing Cheshire stuff and things like that, Paul was, you know, like the poster boy with Dave Horsey. And I think sort of compared to Dave, he got a little bit more, you know, disregarded, as it were. Dave was like the superstar, but then when Paul was coming through, you just saw his career, you know, go, and just kept rising and rising, and always that work effort, and the way he worked was always smart. You never saw him just stood there for 7 hours, and it was, you know, he knew how to make his game better. And for you, are you able to, you know, take things from him, even, you know, not from a golfing perspective, do you know, like that work ethic and things like that? Do you learn a lot from him, you know, even off the golf course when you're not stood, you know, just playing 18 holes or whatever it may be? It might be having a beer with him or something. You pick something out, you think, oh, you know, that really resonates with me, and you're able to apply it to what you're trying to do.
Yeah, I think from Paul's always been really good at switching off. So when he's not at tournaments, or he's said, I'm going to have 2 weeks off, he's been really good at switching off and not doing anything. And I've always been a little bit different, but in the past I've been like, right, this is working for Paul, I'm going to go and do the same. Whereas Paul's almost said to me, he said, if you want to do that, do it. But if you're going to take time off and sit there and think, I want to be hitting balls, it's a waste of time. Like, you're not having time off. You're just doing your head in, really, sat there. He said, one of the best pieces of advice he said to me was, really make sure it's for you. Don't do it because someone else is doing it. You've got to make sure you know what works and don't get affected by anything sort of externally. Obviously, people give you advice and you've got to pick and choose what to listen to. But the external influences, people will always tell you, and you'll know growing up playing as a kid, people always tell you, you've got to hit 1,000 balls a day. You've got to, hands have got to be bleeding and all that. And that was the old, you know, the old sort of mantra was,
you've got to stay out there.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I think you can grind yourself into a hole. So from Paul's sort of aspect of looking at practice and how he prepares for things, I think the main thing is just mixing it up, and don't do any more than, you know, half an hour at a go. Just, even if it's like changing targets and then going doing a bit of chipping and have a bit of time off, it's a putt, you know, just mix it up. Because I was always the opposite, just hit ball after ball after ball, because I thought, if I don't do this, I don't deserve it.
Yeah.
So if I didn't do it, I felt guilty for not doing it.
Yeah.
And whereas Paul was like the complete opposite. He's like, right, I've done my practice, I'm happy with it, I know that works, bang, I'm done. And he'd go and, I don't know, watch Friends or something. But yeah, I think it's just knowing what works for you, and that's what I take the most out of with him, is his ability to sort of switch on and off, and it's something that I think I've got a bit better at and sort of learning about myself more so.
And if you coach a little bit still, don't you?
Yeah.
And are you able to pass information like sort of down the chain there? You think, well, that's going to help this student, and you can take tidbits and sort of relay that message to them?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, with the stuff that we've spoke about and the stuff me and Paul always talk about, is like the importance of like routine, certain aspects of hitting. It's a range of golf shots. It's not necessarily massively about technique, but the range of golf shots, certainly around the green, opens my eyes massively, and I can kind of transfer that into my lessons. And I think I've gone from, certainly with the short game, like I said to you, I was struggling, but I was always after that sort of one chip. Oh, well, I can hit it like this. That's one technique. Didn't have that chip. I was knackered, you know. But through Paul saying, just different ways to address a shot, not necessarily how to swing it, just different ways to address the shot and a certain chip shot, whether it's a toe down, you know, if it's in a bit of a messy lie, you know, it's that sort of opened my eyes. And so many people that I've given like short game lessons to now are like, that's amazing, just do it all the time.
Yeah,
you know, put the toe down on the ground, do it all the time, I can't duff it. Like, yeah, that's, you know, that's, if it simple. If it works,
it's interesting there by the sound, like from what you'll say about your coaching, it sounds very experience based. It's not, you know, swing, 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 swing. You've got to swing it there. If it's not in that position, you're not going to be able to play golf. It's more, right, let's go out on the golf course.
Yeah.
All right, you're not, you know, the prettiest swinger of the golf club maybe, but you can hit this shot, you can hit that shot. And would you say, you know, pre the channel possibly, and pre, you know, spending loads of time with Paul once he got on tour, you would be that way, the other way inclined? It would be more try and teach the swing instead of trying to teach the game.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think it was almost, and certainly coming from, this is nothing against it, but coming from the PGA background, it's kind of what it's all about, you know, it's technique and it's about what way you're going to swing, how are you going to play a bunker shot, and it's all one book, one way to do it. And it gives you that basis, but then I think you've got to adapt and find out what works. And it certainly comes from like what works for myself practicing and seeing what works for Paul practicing, and then sort of putting that into people and saying, look, I think part of the skill is sort of identifying the person that it is and saying, right, you prefer doing this, or you prefer seeing visual things, or you prefer a feeling, go out on the golf course and make it work this way, rather than saying, let me just get me book out here and say, right, you hit the slice, so you need to do this. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's very much more so what your basis of belief is rather than going off a blueprint, because it's the same thing. Every golfer swings it different and every coach is completely different in the way that they do things. And that's where you get, you know, you get a good reputation like yourself, because it works for people. Ultimately, that's what it does. It works for people. And that's, and your dad's been the same, hasn't he? You know, he's got a really good reputation in the area because people know it works. And that's, it might not be the same as what other top coaches teach, but it's ultimately, if the player gets better, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, definitely. It doesn't have to be, if you're not in set positions, you're not able to play golf. You've got to go out and find it out there, definitely. And looking at your game, obviously we've got the Chronicles of a Not Yet Champion Golfer. If you were to look at you versus Paul, what would you, you know, say that you're lacking to make you that champion golfer?
I mean, a lot of it, like I said before, is about the range of shots. So having the, not necessarily the ability, but more so the belief to pick the right shot at times. I think shot selection, Paul's really, really good at knowing what shots to play, and his process of sort of, you know, if it's a back left pin, he sort of says, right, I'm aiming middle of the green and I'm hitting a draw. If it doesn't draw, it's middle of the green. If it does, it's going to be close, but he's not going to overdraw it. He knows that. He knows his shape so well, whereas I've always been a bit in between, you know, what do? Can I hit the fade? Can I hit the draw? And then not completely believing in one or the other. So I think his mentality is certainly one thing, but his, you know, when we go out and play, I can beat him.
Yeah.
I can beat him over, you know, we can have a match and I can beat him. But if you said to me, can I go and play four rounds in Dubai Desert Classic or something, am I going to beat him over four rounds now? Not happening. You know what I mean? It's not happening because of that experience and his ability to do it. I'm not saying it can't happen, but right now that mentality of almost not, it's difficult to put it across really, but Paul said it as, he's carefree, not careless. So I spoke to him specifically about a shot in Dubai in the race to Dubai in the DP World last year. And he's shot like 77 or something in the first round. And then his next three rounds, like he went nuts. I think he was like the lowest for the next three rounds combined. And he ended up finishing about 16th or something, I think. But I said to him, so you stood on that 18th tee at the Earth course with that hazard that runs right the way up the middle. Like, it's a disgusting tee shot. So, you know, like, and this isn't me being negative. It's not me being negative, this, but the thought process for me would almost be like, oh my God, this could cost me a fortune here if I hit it in this hazard. Or, you know, like sort of, it's hard to get away from them thoughts sometimes. But I said to Paul, I was like, were you nervous on that tee shot? He was like, no, why? And I was like, well, why would you? He was like, well, it wasn't in contention. I was like, no, but it's still, you know, you hit it in the hazard, it's probably going to cost you 50 grand. No, I just stand there and hit it. I'm like, how? He's like, well, I go through my process. I care about the process. And as soon as I've done my process, I don't care anymore. And yeah, I just hit
just,
it.
Just trusting it, like, and let everything, wow. What'll be, will be.
It's like, wow. But that takes as much practice as trying to get the club on the inside or trying to stop swinging over the top or whatever it is. It takes just as much practice, that mental stuff.
But oh, yeah.
I think that's where he's so strong. I mean, amongst that, you know, his ball striking is so good and he's really good off the tee. It's an area that I've worked quite a lot on with my coach, Scott Howarth, and trying to get better at. And then going out with Paul and sort of working on getting a stock shot with the driver was a big thing. But he's got, you know, he'll swing it at 85, 90% all the time, hit fairways. And then you think, oh, I'm up with him now. And then he hits one and he's 40 yards past you. And you're like, it's just that. It's that range of golf shots. It's not just one way to go. It's not one dimensional. I think that's where his strength is, really.
Yeah. Nice. That is, yeah. That process thing's a huge thing. Like you say, when you hear a lot of the top players talk about, you know, money, especially, it doesn't come into them, I think, you know. And it's one thing I always say to my students, you know, when was the last time you didn't see a tour pro having a conversation with the caddy before they get a club out of the bag? Just doesn't happen. You know, they don't just go, ah, it feels like a six, I'll hit that one and just aim up there. There's always a plan and some preparation, you know, that process that they go through and trust it. And it is one thing definitely that I think everyone could take away even just from this podcast today. Get a process that you can stick to and trust, because when you're coming down that stretch, you know, especially, you know, from, I don't know what, the most stressful situation you've ever been in terms of being in the golf course and where I'm going to finish out in terms of money and stuff. But when I played Jamaica and stuff, hitting a ball into the water because I was just bricking it and didn't go through my routine, cost me like $5,000. And you think, God, if these boys are playing for hundreds of thousands and they do it, it's got to be worth it.
Yeah, I think it's all relative as well, Matt, isn't it? You know, you've got someone who's off 10 handicap and they're coming down the 18th and the six over par, their feelings are the same sort of feelings. They know they've got the good score going. But I think you've hit the nail on the head there with most sort of club golfers, especially playing the same course every week. Like, say they're playing their home club weekly comps. They pulled the club out before they even got to the ball because they know it. They just go through the motions and they're like, oh, from here.
Yeah,
it's a six iron just because they know the course. Whereas I think if you could sort of put yourself before you hit the shot as the caddy, as if you're talking to the player and saying, right, the wind's this, the yardage is that, the pin position, which so many people don't pay attention to whether it's front, middle or back. They just look at it and go, there it is.
Flag.
Right, we've only got the pins at the back. We've only got 5 yards long of it. So let's play it 5 yards short. Okay, that changes the club down. It's not 6 iron, it's 7 iron's a safe one. I can commit to this. And then step in and hit it. I think people would just, I think they'd be amazed at how much better they could get score-wise if they went through that sort of process and played the role of their own caddy at times.
Yeah, definitely. I almost say, like, you almost need split personality to my students. Like, almost imagine you've got another one of you with you. You know, there's two people in your head. One's your caddy, one's you. Have a conversation. Even if you look a bit crazy, pretend that you are doing it and you'll make better choices there.
Moving. Yeah, I've got the wildlife in my head. That's my split personality, get the wildlife on.
is that obviously that features quite heavily in your channel. Is it something that, you know, if you weren't into golf, if you weren't a professional golfer, is it something where you like to be working with animals or?
Yeah, I love it, mate. I always have as a kid. Always. So we've always had pets, dogs and cats and everything. And yeah, I've been ordering bird books and all sorts recently, trying to spot what birds are in me. I put a new little bird house up in the back, a little bird feeder. Yeah, I know them all. I'm like, oh, look at that. It's a little goldfinch there in the bush.
We've done that. Yeah, I've seen some great tits, starlings, everything. We've been making our own bird feed. It's getting out of hand now.
Brilliant.
Gonna get a little aviary, I think, going out of the back porch and just adopt them all.
Yeah, I'm going to get an owl. I want an owl now. That's what I'm after.
I'm literally, I was Googling the other day, what do you need to do to own an owl? But it's like, Mrs. is looking at me like, I think we need to get you back to work. This is getting
change
out
of career.
Yeah. So you moving forwards then, what's going to happen with the playing schedule? Obviously, we're not in a position to know exactly, you know, what tournaments are going to be held at the moment. But is is Q School a thing that's been on your radar? And
yeah, it is. I mean, that's the goal this year, really, and I feel like I'm in a better position than I have been before going into it. But you just don't know, do you, whether it's going to happen or not? And with being, I mean, I'm always like going out and playing nine holes. I love going out and playing a little bit of competitive golf, but this sounds mad, mate. I'm not like itching to go and play nine holes on my own for without any real goal of it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
it's great if we can get out, and that's where again the videos come in, because well, actually, you can go out and film nine holes, score properly, it's on camera, so it is kind of like a competitive game. So I'm not really one to go out and think I'm going to be playing nine holes for the sake of it with nothing really to prepare for. I miss competitive golf more than actual social golf side of it. So
goal.
Yeah. So yeah, as soon as, I mean, I don't know what the PGA is going to do in terms of tournaments, but my main schedule will be made up of PGA events. And then, yeah, Q School, September, October, depending where you go. I'll probably go to France again if it's still on at Harderlow. And then, yeah, but like I said, it's just so up in the air. I don't even know what's going to happen with the tour schedule, with anything. So, yeah, as soon as we get any sort of schedule, I'll be itching to go again. But for now, I can just keep hitting balls in my net and getting obsessed with technique, do the opposite of what we've just talked about.
do everything, go against it, everything it'll all wrong. Work out fine. How have they obviously seen on your channel that you've got some new clubs, so how is all that panning out for you? Did you go for fittings for those, or was it just pick them from the catalogue, or what was the process there?
I mean through Paul has obviously used Wilson now for a good few years, and then I met Duncan, who is one of the fitting reps, and he works on tour for Wilson. So I met Duncan and been good mates with him, and then yeah, we'd been talking for a while, and when they brought out the staff model blades, I was like, they look amazing. And I got some wedges off them originally at the British Masters last year, and that was kind of the start of it. And then speaking to him, and he kind of liked the stuff I did, and got coming from sort of a player's point of view, and he said, you know, we'd like to do something with you. So those irons were just class. I loved them straight away as soon as I seen them. We were meant to go to Irvine in Scotland and do a full factory tour, factory fitting, and film it all and everything until lockdown come in. So basically, we've ordered them to my specs, what I know are right. And then hopefully, when we get out on the golf course, I can see that they work. But we're going to go up to the factory anyway and get them all fully checked as soon as that's sort of safe to do it. So yeah, that was massive bonus for me, that through, you know, getting a proper, like a manufacturer to help me out, because I've never put myself in that sort of, I don't know, you always think, so why would someone do that, you know? And yeah, just really fortunate that that's come in, and it's been a great brand to work with. It's not like, you know, it's been quite sort of personal with them, really. It's not, I don't think it's so big that they've got hundreds of people doing it. So it's been good. But like I said, they haven't seen grass yet, mate. They've just got that green marks on the bottom off mats. That's all they've seen. They haven't got any dings in out of bag rattling or anything. So yeah, they still look pretty. As soon as they get on the golf course, they'll be full of mud and that. But
they are, to be fair, they probably don't get the recognition they should do, the Wilsons. The blade itself's a gorgeous thing. I had when I was an amateur, they sponsored me for like 2 or 3 years, and they've they were gorgeous clubs, and like you say, there is that personal touch there, because they're not flooded with, you know, 200-300 players, but they definitely don't get, you know, the recognition they should do. Even the driving iron that's come out, I hit a few balls with that before, you know, the range shut down, and that thing's like a rocket. That was just absolutely fantastic.
I love that. I love the look of it, and it feels great. But like I said, I've only hit it 3 yards so far, because it's just gone into the net. So yeah, I can't wait to get them out. But the wedges are lovely, forged wedges. I've not had forged wedges before, and I was always one of the people that were like, you can't really tell the difference and stuff. You know, if you give me two golf balls, I wouldn't really be able to tell the difference that much. But now I think I'm a little bit more aware of it, and the difference that actually makes that sort of stuff, certainly golf ball, but in terms of forged wedge, the feel was completely different. I was like, yeah, that's actually really, really nice. So yeah, I'm looking forward to getting out on the golf course. Maybe it's just because I don't duff my chips anymore, it feels really nice to be there.
You found the middle of the face, so you actually get some real feedback from them. Excellent. So, pretty good stuff there, Al. So, moving forwards, we've got you're going to try for Q School. Hopefully, you know, you'll still be documenting all that as you're doing it. Will you, obviously, as well, it depends on what happens with tour, but have you got any plans to get out to any events with Paul? It's, you know, I think it'd be always fascinating from the YouTube side of things to have a player actually, you know, almost take on the form that you do and, you know, really document what they do and you know, go to the venues and do that. Obviously, they've got, you know, a hell of a lot going on with preparing for a tournament and, you know, playing the tournament and all the stresses that comes along with that. So it probably wouldn't really work in that case. But for someone like yourself who's got the connection, and it'd be a great insight, I think, for the viewers.
Yeah, it was a plan. We'd said, actually, we were going to do quite a few. And Paul's so easy going with it. He's like, oh, no, it'd be great. Just come with me and come on the range. You do, you know, he's just really easy going with it. So we were going to do one at Valderrama. It was going to be the first one, which was supposed to be end of April, wasn't it? I think that was going to be the first one. And then, depending on travel, obviously, it costs a fair bit to get about and do it all. But there was a few in the UK with, obviously, British Masters. And that was going to be up at in Newcastle, wasn't it? Close House. The Dunhill. And then there was talk there was going to be another British event this year, which obviously isn't really going to be the case anymore with, well, I wouldn't have thought. So I think
it's going to be on the PS4, I think.
Yeah, they're doing Trackman challenges and stuff, aren't they?
Yeah, so I've seen that. It's brilliant.
So yeah, as soon as it's allowed, that's something that I really want to do, because as much as one of the most that I learned was doing, I did one from Hillside with British Masters last year, and I went around the practice round with them, and he played nine holes. It was Paul and Jamie Donaldson.
Oh yeah.
And watching that and the stuff they do in the practice round and talking through everything that they're doing, why they're doing it, and they were great with me. I learned so much from that, because practice rounds, I just get bored. Like, I just get so bored unless I'm playing a game and scoring. I just think this is just a waste. So I don't even think I learn that much, really. I just sort of see the golf course. Whereas the depth that you can go into to start learning the different areas of the greens, where you can miss it, where you want to play off the tee, where the wide areas are, everything like that, that sort of, you know, really opened my eyes. So, wow, this is the preparation you actually need to be going into, not just going out for the sake of seeing a golf course.
Yeah, just whacking it around a little bit. It's interesting that, because I live literally, you know, 1,000 yards from Warrington Golf Club, and grown up there my whole life. And one of my friends, who's also a student, obviously during lockdown, we've been walking the golf course, not together, but he'll go on, and he said, you know, like, I've been walking around and I didn't realise like that fairway was so wide, and I didn't realise you could hit it up here on the third. And, you know, I was telling him a tale of when I became an assistant. I worked at Mere and then was still a member at Warrington, and I came back from playing at Mere, which is, you know, probably 500 to 1,000 yards longer than Warrington.
Yeah.
And just looked at the course through different eyes straight away. I was like, why am I hitting driver there? Why don't you just hit a 4-iron and wedge it on? And it is something, you know, even now, if people can get out to the golf courses still in a safe manner and just walk around them, you just notice so much more when you've not just got the, you know, probably again, it goes back to that process, doesn't it, of just walking and hitting, and I'm on the third again, I always hit driver here. You see it through such different lenses.
I think walking the course is as good as playing it. Mm. And I keep talking about Paul, but that's where I'm sort of coming off what he does on tour. But he will very rarely, unless he's playing pro-am, he won't play 18 holes in practice. He'll play nine and walk nine. And if you give him the option of one or the other, he said, I'd definitely walk it all day. He said, because you get to certain points and you get into the wide point of the fairway and say, right, this is where you want to be playing from. Measure it back, how far it is. Almost walking the course backwards from green back.
Yeah, playing from green to
tee. I think that's a massive, massive thing that you can learn so much from walking. Like you said, I think you notice more when you're playing.
You're just in your bubble, aren't you? Just in your normal routine. I chatted to Finno about that, Tommy Fleetwood's caddy, the other day. He was on the phone to him, and I was similar sort of thing. Like, do you just play every course you go to? Is it a case of rock up, play 18? He's like, no, I'll just walk nine in the morning, then we'll play the back nine that we've not, or vice versa. And it is, just opens your eyes up massively.
I think you do see so much more. And, you know, you could hit a drive wang it out miles right, and you're walking up the fairway just thinking how fuming you are. You haven't seen anything, not noticed anything. Whereas I think if you're walking it, you haven't got that opportunity to wang it miles right. You're not going to be, you know, your mind's not going to be lost, and you're actually focusing on, right, this is what I need to do on this hole. I do think it's something that's really underrated and something that a lot of people I don't think would really think about. Maybe they have recently, like you said, you can walk the course. So I think people may see it a little bit differently now.
Mm, definitely. I think it's interesting. I was chatting with my dad on one of the other podcasts, and I think a lot of golf lessons especially, there'll be, you know, time focus more towards course-based learning instead of just being on the mat. Obviously, I'm in that situation where I am at a driving range, and obviously the economy and the situation you're in dictates generally what you do, you know, and obviously needing, you know, pay your mortgage and things like that, you just bang lessons out sometimes. But for me, it's definitely opened up my eyes to think, well, I need to, you know, if it's one day a week, I go and spend that at the local course and meet players there. That needs to happen because it's, you know, ultimately we're playing the game on the course, aren't we?
Exactly. I mean, there's no, you know, there's no doubt the other side of it is massively important. Like, I work a lot on technique, and it's because I feel like I need to. It is massively important, and I wouldn't downplay that side of things. Mm. But like you've just said then, it's about taking what you're doing. There's no point just keep working on that. It's taking what you're doing and then applying it. And I think that's something you've got to really learn, a technique, take it out on the course, and it gives you so many other different techniques, the alterations to the shots, picking different types of shots, because that's your real situation. That's where you've got to play. And, you know, especially playing at Warrington, which you get quite a lot of different undulating lies around Warrington, don't you? You've got, you know,
you need one leg short on the other.
Technique that you've perfected. You perfected this technique, and you get out there and you go, well, the ball's above my feet now. What am I doing here? You know, and that's it's something you've just got to really, that's where experience in golf, I think, is a really big thing. And if I had the choice of one or the other, I could only practice or only play. Not from a fun point of view, but just from a game point of view, I would say, well, I'll just play all day.
Yeah, definitely. I do think you learn, you like say, those scenario-based learning is massive for it. So,
yeah,
I think there'll be plenty more time spent out there. Right, well, I'm going to let you get on your way, sir. Let you get back into your net and work on your technique.
Might get in my garden, do some bird spotting first, mate.
Yeah, do that. Get the binoculars out and see what's about. Excellent. Well, best of luck with your golf moving forwards, and hopefully, you know, Q School will go ahead and you can fly through that. For anyone listening, where can they find you on social and YouTube? What do they need to search?
So they're all at Alex Evans Golf, Instagram, TikTok now, YouTube,
love it.
Twitter, all at Alex Evans Golf.
Perfect. Well, thanks for coming on the show, mate. Stay safe, and I'll speak to you soon.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
No problem.
Take it easy.
So, Alex Evans there, ladies and gentlemen. Fantastic guest, really entertaining stories there from him, and a great insight to see how he's adopting the practice of working on his game to help other golfers improve their games also. And be interesting to see if he does get out on tour with Paul at some time as well, and really see what goes on behind the scenes, because I think what he talked about there, from learning a lot from even just walking a few holes with them in a practice round, was a great insight, and I think something that we could generally benefit from. So if you haven't already, do go and check Alex out on his channels there at Alex Evans Golf on YouTube, Twitter, TikTok and Instagram, and go and have a look at some of his stuff. As always, guys, do remember to subscribe to the podcast. Leave us a comment down below. Rate us. One way of boosting the number of downloads that we get is to rate us on here. The better ratings we get, the more people hopefully we get listening to the podcast. I've been your host, Matt Fryer. Remember to follow me on all my social medias at Matt Fryer Golf. Loads of videos coming on the YouTube channel to help you improve your golf. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you in another episode of the Coach's Corner.